I have to laugh. I look at some of this stuff in the early days, and the one thing that caught my attention, I wanted to bring it up, was I'm looking at this going, you had your face on a cereal box or something like that. And I can recall when I was younger, lots of people used to have that done. But you must laugh at some of this stuff now. I mean, it's all marketing, but it's fun to look back at this craziness.
Well, it's fantastic. And, you know, so many people, yes, I was on the back of a Kellogg's Rice Krispies, who were sponsors of the Partridge Family. And it's the only commercial that I did at the time, and they asked me to do it, and I had no control over some of the, you know, merchandise and everything. But I feel so fortunate. I was on the cover of Life magazine and every movie, teen, and the cover of Rolling Stone, and et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of the memorabilia, people have come up and brought, and you have an emotional connection to people that inspired you, or that I've been blessed to have people care about me and the music and my work. And it's always been about the joy of the work. And I'm one of the very fortunate few that it's not about the money, and it's never been about the fame or the money. And I've given this advice to a lot of people who, like, I want to be a musician. I want to be... A lot of people now just want to be famous. They don't care what it's about or why. They just want to be famous. I never pursued fame. It just found me because I was fortunate enough to be at the right moment in time, and a role came upon me. I was cast as an actor. I'd done a lot of the hour guest shots, guest starring roles as an unknown on Bonanza and, you know, the FBI, Marcus Welby, all those shows that were kind of in their time, Mod Squad, kind of legendary. And I became a hot actor, and I went through the process and was cast as an actor. And they knew I could sing and I could play, and I played in garage bands, and I had always been in the chorus and lead singer in all of the bands I used to play in, and, you know, just for, because we loved to play, and a lot of blues and R&B stuff, as well as, you know, Clapton and Cream and Hendrix. And I saw Cream, I saw Hendrix 4 times. So I was pretty much inspired by the music and the people that are still probably the people that have had more influence than any of the even contemporary artists today.
So, yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, some of the classic rock stations.
And
yeah.
I am really proud of what we were able to accomplish, and that I learned from some of the greatest musicians and songwriters, and, you know, Jerry Goffin and Paul Anka, Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, and in particular Tony Romeo, who wrote Point Me in the Direction of Albuquerque. He wrote a little song called I Think I Love You. And I'm going to do all the great stuff that people love, I Woke Up in Love This Morning, et cetera, et cetera. And just come and celebrate, especially now because of the world that we live in is very, very different. And there's a lot of sadness and grief and people worried and all that. And, you know, my job is to take you for as long as you'll have me up on the stage and celebrate it all. And I can't wait. It's a fantastic thing to be back here. I have spent quite a bit of time in Canada, particularly on the East Coast in Toronto, and I did Blood Brothers after doing it on Broadway, and in the West End, I did Blood Brothers on Broadway with my brother Sean. And my new television series in America, Ruby and the Rockets, is the first time that all of my brothers, Sean, Patrick, Ryan, and I have ever worked together. And Sean was executive producer and head writer on Ruby and the Rockets. And it brought me back to L.A. and television. You know, you never say never. I thought I'd never move back to L.A., but I'm going to spend at least a good part of the year out here and being with my family. My son has just started college in Boston University, and he's just a freshman, and he just started about a month ago, and he's never been happier, and he's a very talented guy. And my daughter, Katie Cassidy, is the star of the new Melrose Place, one of the three or four stars of the show, and she's just a fantastic human being. I'm proud of both of my kids.
The showbiz stays in the family. That's awesome. I know when we spoke, maybe it was the last time you were here, because you've been here a couple times. You played the outdoor at the Pacific National Exhibition.
That was a couple years ago.
And you also did the casino before. And I asked you about your equestrian, your love of equestrian.
And well, I've always been a guy that I've been enamored with being outside and on farms. And when I was a little boy, my dad left my mom and I, and evidently my uncles and my aunts used to take me for pony rides and stuff. I'm talking about 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I bought my first horse when I was 15, a riding horse who was a fantastic old boy. And when I started making an awful lot of money, I began reading a lot because I love thoroughbred racing. And I became a breeder and have pursued it with a passion and a love for it that I still do. Most of my horses are in New York or Florida. I have run in Toronto. Last year I won a $100,000 stake with a filly I bred and owned. And I am so thrilled with the excitement and what happens for me, the connection I have being on the farm with my weanlings and yearlings and watching them develop and training them. And I buy them, I sell them, I breed them, and it's my other passion in life other than my work.
Now, and I know this, and that's just why I bring this up again. It was my neighbor Jane, who used to live in our complex. She's from New Zealand, outside of Wellington, which is in the South Islands, about 20 she was about 20 miles out of there, and she grew up on a farm and with a lot of horses. And I went with her with a bunch of folks from the radio station on a media night, and we went to the racetrack here in the city. She won, and she didn't bet a lot of money, but she won 6 of the 8 races that we were there for.
Oh, my God.
Now I bring this...
Oh, no, we need to go to the racetrack with her.
With Jane. But I bring this up because I did learn some things, and I think I can learn a couple things from you here. But instead of just sitting there, fitting your face with a hot dog all the time and sitting there, you should get down on the track and see the horses parading. Can you give me your little scenario, what you would do when you're watching the horses and you want to go out and bet?
Well, I am not really a gambler, and I'm somebody who I occasionally make a bet. If I think one of my horses has a chance and is what they call an overlay, where maybe he should be 2 or 3 to 1 and he's 8 or 10 to 1. For me, it's not about cashing a bet, although a lot of people are enamored with the idea of doing that. And I know a lot of people made a fortune gambling and betting on horses and, you know, racing for them every day. And all I can say is I love the business. I love being at the racetrack. And if you haven't been, go. There's some great racing in Canada. And I'll see you Friday night, tomorrow night.
Absolutely. We'll be there.
I can't wait and hope everybody will come out and celebrate it with me.
Okay. Thank you, David, for your time again.
And have a great morning.